The Family and Technology Report, a May 2011 study by the Barna Institute, a California-based research group, finds digital technology, quote, seems to amplify the relational patterns and problems already in place. Families that have healthy and frequent conversations find technology aiding that process, while families without such healthy interactions find that technology exacerbates and the isolation of its members. The study looks at how technology shapes parent-child relationships. The results show that while parents use technology as much as their kids and see it as having either a positive or neutral effect on the family, they feel there is not enough coaching available on how to best integrate technology into the home. And to talk more about this is Catherine Benesch. She is the researcher, Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. Good afternoon, Catherine. How are you today?
I'm good, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I guess it's obvious to most people who are in a family and are using technology that it was probably time for some study on this. But why did you guys decide to do this, or the Barna Institute?
Well, we're with the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. We're a public policy think tank in Ottawa, and we look at issues pertaining to the family and marriage, such as child care and family, such as taxation and family, and in this case, technology and family. And we decided to look at the Barna Institute study because, as you said, technology is such an important part in family life, whether children or their parents, for that matter, are using cell phones, the internet. People are increasingly being plugged in. There's a statistic I've quoted in the report here where 79% of Canadians have internet access, and those stats from Stats Canada are a few years old, so you can just imagine that this is an issue that affects many, many families in Canada.
Are we starting to see the problems arise?
Well, as the report points out, and based on the research we have here, technology in itself is neither good or bad. And when we say that, we mean that parents can use it as a tool, as a facilitator for communication, or in cases where healthy family dynamics aren't in place, it can also be pushing people further apart. I'll give you an example. I have a friend who has two teenagers, and she is on Facebook with her teenagers, and her daughter posted a message, "Happy Mother's Day, Mom, I love you." So that's an example there of where technology can be a facilitator of good communication. However, there's also that other side of it where it can isolate families or members of a family to their individual rooms in a house where kids can withdraw from their family, for example, by sending out 1,000 text messages a day to their friends.
So, in other words, if you had good relationships with your kids prior to this, chances are with technology you will continue along that line. If you had problems, these are just going to amplify the problems.
That would be fair. I mean, prior is an interesting term because, you know, this is a generation that, if parents are in their 30s, they have had early 40s have had experience with using technology, and their children, this is a world where, this is all this generation has ever known. As you know, there's computers, there's iPods, there's all these technologies. So it's part of family life. And that was something that the report pointed out, though, was that for this may be like one of the first early generations of parents to be trying to regulate technology in their home, is that parents surveyed by the Barna Institute don't feel that there is enough coaching from institutions like schools and churches on how best to integrate technology into their homes. And the suggestion that comes out of that is, while we may not know how best to do that yet, what we can do in the meantime is set those healthy boundaries, and you know, parents should live by their own rules as well and understand what they are trying to regulate.
It sounds as if they're almost looking for somebody else to come up with the regulations or the guidelines so they don't have to do it.
Well, I mean, as the Institute focuses on, studies are showing more and more that kids are looking to their parents for direction, and possibly even more than parents realize. Parents, they set the tone, they set the climate in the home, and that gives them an element of authority, an element of ability to control what goes on there. So while parents may not necessarily know what to do with that at this point, they shouldn't hesitate to, for example, have their computer in a public space and to have those filters on to screen out those questionable sites, that the exposure that they don't want their kids to be having. So it comes down to nurturing those healthy family dynamics in the first place.
You bring up a valid point, though, Catherine. Although we usually consider this as the first generation, lots of parents have already been involved with this if they are in their 30s and 40s. So this is sort of the second generation. And lots of times I'm at the park and I'll see, you know, parents there playing with the kids, but they're not really playing with the kids because they got their head in their device and their thumbs going. So because we've raised parents like that, will we see much change in the kids?
That's hard to say. I mean, that depends on each family's dynamic. Definitely there are studies that identify the consequences of being constantly connected. An example would be, you know, household friction. If dad says, you know, to his 14-year-old, you can't text your friend during dinner, we're having a family time, whereas dad is on the phone sending an email to the office with his iPhone rather than being fully present. I mean, there's an inherent tension there. And, you know, the best outcomes, as our research has pointed to, is when parents follow rules that they set for their children, when children follow the rules, obviously, but also when parents follow those same rules and understand that, and it has to be an intentional thing that they are thinking about. What rules do we want? Why do we want them? How much technology is good? How much, why do we want to be using it? And just to, so yes, they may have grown up without, you know, those limits themselves, but I mean, every family has the ability to set the tone in their home and control that climate there.
Obviously, the good place to start would be at the dinner table, having no communication other than with the family at that point. Obviously, that's a good place to start, no, in getting communication going with the family?
I think that any opportunity that parents and children can take, with the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, would be in support of having that conversation facilitated. So yeah, definitely dinner with the family. That could be a challenge, you know, just turn off the TV, turn off the radio, turn off cell phones, or just leave them in another room, and just be fully present and engaged with each other, and let technology have its place as an enabler and a facilitator of good communication, but not let it take control of those family dynamics.
Do you think that perhaps, especially where there's a second generation technology, younger parents, do you think that perhaps when putting the guidelines on the kids, the parents don't really even realize how much they're violating those rules themselves?
I'm not sure about that. I'm not a parent myself. Just based on this research, though, parents do have the best outcomes, and the best outcomes happen in the home when parents, as I mentioned earlier, understand what they're trying to control. So in the case of my friend who has children on Facebook, if she sets, say, a limit of 2 hours a day on Facebook, and she follows that and they follow that, she herself has an understanding of what Facebook is, how to use it, and how it can be a black hole for your time. So if parents understand that, then they can be fair, and they can make well-informed rules and help to create it's a culture within a family that will live by these rules.
Where will we see more research on this sort of stuff in the future? And I'm guessing that we will, because there really hasn't been much that's changed not only our lives in general, but certainly family life. There's nothing that seems to have changed it as much as technology has in the last 50 years or so.
Definitely an important issue. It's one that there are a number of new studies out. All of the studies that and research that I used in my report, for example, have emerged in the last 2 or 3 years. So it's definitely a topic that people are thinking about. When families are so plugged in, there's statistics where, you know, it depends on the internet user, for example, but Canadians are, if they're considered a heavy user, can be spending up to over 9 hours a day. So over 9 hours a day online. I mean, if you're at a computer at a work, then that is something that you will be using. But it's something that definitely is important to be looking at and to be considering and to understand how it really is impacting our families and our lives.
It reminds me of the commercial on TV where the family's sitting around the dinner table and they're each text messaging messages to each other instead of actually talking. Catherine Benish has been with us, researcher, Institute of Marriage and Family Canada out of Ottawa. Catherine, thanks very much for the insight. Much appreciated.
My pleasure.